hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have this on the line right now, one of my favorite guests, and I hope he's one of your favorite guests too. His name is Gary Kahn. Gary has written a book called En Route to Global Occupation, and he wrote that when he was shortly after he left his employment. I think it was in Indiana, where he was a representative of the government there, the state government, traveling around the world, encouraging people to buy products made in Indiana, and found that there was this move towards doing away with American national sovereignty and producing a world government. And he was so surprised, and he began to study, and he realized that there were people within our government who were traitors to this country, who had sworn to uphold our Constitution, but they had a different loyalty. And then, of course, his book, The New World Religions, begins to go into the spiritual force behind what's going on. Gary Kahn, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Stan. It's good to be with you, as always.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about what you're working on now, and really how you see this whole incredible story unfolding before our very eyes.
Well, in the last 18 months, actually, we've been doing more and more overseas. In fact, I've been to, I'd say, about 10 different countries on three continents during that time. As the internet has widened its scope, and people are logging on to our website and other websites, they become very curious overseas, wanting to know more about this one world movement, especially the Christians overseas, and especially in the former East Bloc countries. And so right now, as we're speaking, my book's being translated into four more languages, one additional one added today. So a lot of interest there, and I'm doing what I can to get the message out there, but still in this country as well. You know, sometimes you just feel like you're beating a dead horse. It's like, why don't more people just get what's going on? And I know you deal with the same thing, and it comes down to just a lack of overall spiritual discernment, I think, and people more and more with each passing generation, it seems, are losing common sense. The issues even being considered today, I can't believe they're even before us, and so that's the constant challenge, is breaking it down and presenting this information and saying, look, we know for sure that this and this is happening, therefore what should be our response?
Do you ever have a feeling that there's a spiritual blindness here in the American people, that there's almost a supernatural force that's keeping them from seeing truth?
Yes, absolutely. And I've seen it increase during the last 10 years, especially. If you went back to the 50s, let's just suppose you lived and died in the 50s, and suddenly you were able to take a glimpse into today's America. People, they'd be flabbergasted. They'd be speechless to see what's going on in this country. If you go back further to the days of Abraham Lincoln, I think he'd pass out. He wouldn't even last 10 seconds seeing what's going on in America. It would grieve him so much. And it grieves me. It grieves you, I know, because we love this country, and we're doing what we are because we love this country and want to see America wake up before it's too late. But the materialism, the obsession with self, stroking people's egos and teaching the importance of self-esteem rather than our sin nature and the need for repentance and the need for a Savior, all these things factor into it, and there is a spiritual blindness.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Gary Kahn as we begin to covering what's happening as we move away from America, away from freedom, towards fascism, the New World Order, the New World Religion. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest today is Gary Kahn, and he's the author of a book that we carry called New World Religions, and also the author of En Route to Global Occupation, because it's all about religion, it's all about world government. It's all about the destruction of America. And the thing is that they, Gary, if you get his newsletter, and we want to tell you how to do that, you'll find out that there are meetings being held all over the world, all the time, it seems, working on this idea of creating all these new laws that little bit by little bit erode the freedom of our country, circumvent the power of our duly elected representatives, so they simply become figureheads for the international elite who are really running this whole thing. Would that be a fair statement, Gary?
Yes, absolutely. There are so few people that have such incredible power. I'd say 3,000 people in this world have enough influence to establish trends. Some people would say it's fewer than that, some researchers, but I'd say there are about 3,000 people roughly that have enough influence that at the very least they can establish trends, and then they can feed those trends through the media and by manipulating political situations, and it can get the world going in a certain direction. And I'm not going to accuse any one leader of being behind the terrorist acts, but I will say this, Satan is doing a masterful job of using terrorism and getting people gradually to the point where they will come to the conclusion that the only way to deal with terrorism is to have a world government. And that's exactly what the ultimate goal is, I believe, with Satan and with some of the people involved in pushing this agenda who happen to be involved in the occult. So I believe some of these acts of terrorism, maybe most of them, are deliberately being planned just to lure people into accepting something that they would never accept under normal circumstances.
I'm sure you're absolutely right, and I think that people have to understand how the media really controls what we think. And the media isn't telling you that we're moving rapidly towards a world government. The media isn't telling you that there is a planned program to transfer our jobs and our wealth overseas to, you know, to lower the living standards of the American people, to destroy their savings. After all, the people would rise up. So as long as you can control the media, you can pretty well control what the American people think, can't you, Gary?
Yes, to a large degree. And it's not that the media is completely controlled by these forces, but it is to a significant degree. There are some people in the media that speak out from time to time, but for the most part, you will not hear a significant challenge coming from the mainstream media.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We've got to... Yes. Okay, our guest is Gary Kaw, and he's simply talking about how the media isn't completely controlled, but there are many, many people there who are working on the other side, and of course they have such a profound influence on what the American people think. You pick up the story there, Gary.
Yes, I was just going to say, you will rarely hear anyone in the media seriously challenge the United Nations. It hardly ever happens. And those who do, I think, take a lot of heat as a result of doing so. A thinking person should ask the question, why is that the case? When other people are scrutinized for what they do, why does the UN get away with what they do? The fact that all these acts of terrorism by the Palestinian groups in Israel, for example, none of them that I'm aware of have been condemned by the United Nations, but they have consistently, repeatedly passed resolutions condemning Israel. That to me, no matter what my background would be from a religious standpoint, that just throws up flags. You have to ask the question, what's going on here? How can that institution be so one-sided that they don't even condemn the terrorist acts taking place in Israel? Who are the people that are leading the UN? Who are the people that helped to found the UN? What is its ultimate purpose? And all these things, these answers are attainable if you do the research. It's all there. The information is there. And that gives us an idea then of who is behind it, and it brings you back to some of these same global forces and families, wealthy influences that we've spoken of on past programs. And again, it shows how an enormous amount of wealth and control is in the hands of a very few.
Well, don't be afraid to be repetitive, because, you know, sometimes that's the best way to teach. Well, let me play the devil's advocate, because I can remember when I was a liberal and I kept saying, well, what's wrong with rural government? Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody could live, you know, comfortably and in peace and without fear, and if we could just do away with wars? So what's wrong with this idea of a world government and world peace through world law?
Well, for one thing, it would do away with our current system of checks and balances. Under the current world system, for better or worse, if one country steps out of line and becomes aggressive against others, other countries of the world can team up against that country and put it back in place, as happened with Adolf Hitler during World War II, for example. If you have a world government, you're putting all of your eggs in one basket. If that world government ends up being corrupt, which I assure you it would be, it has one military force in the world, and that's the only military force. That would be part of the condition of the world government. So what force would now oppose this all-controlling force, military, political, economic force? There wouldn't be any. So it's very foolish, in my opinion, to do something like that. Secondly, the power base would be moved further away from the people. If people complain that Washington isn't listening now, do they really think that a world government would listen to them, headquartered probably somewhere eventually overseas in Europe? I know right now it's the UN where things seem to be coming together, but the EU is emerging rapidly as a world super state. My guess is it would eventually be headquartered somewhere in Europe or the Middle East. Do you really think that a bunch of bureaucrats sitting over there are going to listen to what we say and think? Then there's the fact that a global tax is needed in order to fund this world government. It has to be funded somehow, and so already lawmakers are looking at ways to bring in yet another tax, an international tax, in fact, various types of international taxes, fund this world government. That's going to affect all of us. So if you enjoy giving more money to the government, I guess you'd be in favor of world government. Then there's the whole aspect that I just touched on a few moments ago. Who's in control of all this? Who's pushing this agenda? If you look at the people behind this, for the most part, over the years, they have been extremely anti-Christian, many of them also anti-Jewish. You want those people in control of running the world. That's a scary thought to me. And finally, if you dig a little bit deeper, you find out that there's a significant percentage of hardcore occultists / Luciferians that are pushing this as well. And now some people listening to this program for the first time might be thinking, I'm losing you right here. This is crazy. Even though we have the full documentation, for example, we know that in 1922, Alice Bailey, who is referred to by some as the mother of today's New Age movement, in New York City founded Lucifer Publishing Company. I reproduced the title page from one of her first books that has Lucifer Publishing Company written on it. It's Exhibit C, I believe, in my book, The New World Religion. She had a huge impact politically, along with her cohorts at the Theosophical Society and at Lucifer Publishing Company. 2 years after she founded Lucifer Publishing Company, she changed the name to Lucis Trust. It still exists. It's a major foundation. It's still headquartered in New York City. It is promoting world government in every way that it can. And at one United Nations meeting that a good friend of mine attended, the Great Invocation, which is published by Lucis Trust, it's an international prayer designed to be prayed by people all around the world, with the thought that if enough people pray this prayer at the same moment in time, it will help us to take the next quantum leap into this new world order and bring the world teacher, as they call him, onto the scene. And I guarantee you it's not Jesus Christ, it would be the Antichrist. These people are totally involved in the occult. If you don't believe me, read their materials. You can get them at most bookstores now, again, published by Lucis Trust. And they have a huge influence politically and even in the founding of the United Nations back in the 40s. And also some of the Council on Foreign Relations members who had a big influence on the founding of the UN were Lucis Trust members at the time. So you cannot divorce that group from its influence on world government. So I ask you again now, I would ask the skeptic, do you want these kinds of people at the forefront of making decisions on the direction that this world and world government is going in? And I think most reasonable people would say, no way.
And I just hope that the people out there will want to get your book, The New World Religions, En Route to Global Occupation, and begin checking this out. Every major city in the United States today has a metaphysical bookstore. And there you'll be able to get books on Luciferianism and witchcraft and Satanism and Aleister Crowley and Alice Bailey and all of these people. And they're all pushing for world government.
By the way, Stan, I saw a statistic, the only statistic that I'm aware of on this, and it was in the late 80s, maybe right around 1990, it was in USA Today, and they gave a figure of the number of Americans involved in the occult, either in a hardcore way or on the fringes. And I calculated that at that time it was about 1 in 7, possibly as many as 1 out of 6 of all American adults. That was close to 15 years ago now. It's probably higher than that. So I would venture to say, and I think I would be accurate in making this statement, I believe there are more people in America today involved in the occult, somewhere on the scale of being an overt Luciferian or Satanist on the one hand to simply dabbling with tarot cards and psychic phenomena on the other, you know, at the other end of the spectrum, but falling somewhere in there. I believe there are more people involved in those practices in America today than there are born-again Christians.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I was doing an article on witchcraft recently, so I looked up on Google. I found out there are over 1,200,000 sites there on witchcraft. And, of course, I got this very nasty letter from a witch and who had told me that she was very angry with me because I had mentioned witchcraft and Luciferianism in the same discussion. Now, I didn't say they were necessarily Luciferian, but she was talking about how, of course, as a witch, she wanted to contact beings from another dimension. And, of course, I didn't ask, of course, what that dimension was and where this power was that the witches tap into so they can carry out their magic and spells. And she's never even really stopped and thought that she's tapping into the supernatural. That is where the devil lurks.
Right. There are only really two sources of power in this world. One is superior to the other, and that, of course, is God. But the weaker of the powers, but that still has significant power in this world, is Satan himself and his realm. And I think he will use every deception available to seduce people to open themselves up to his leading and to his influence. And the number one way that happens is by people going into an altered state of consciousness. That opens the gateway to the realm of the occult. And, you know, in my book I gave different examples of how people seem to have their first experiences with the occult when they go into an altered state of consciousness. And I have found several different explanations for the existence of these beings that some of them communicate with. And again, if you think this is a joke, you wouldn't if you have talked to as many people as I have who have had these experiences. Many of these people who have since become Christians and they are sharing their experiences in the occult with me now. Some of them alleged that they had experiences with what they believed were extraterrestrial beings. Well, they, of course, now know these were nothing but demonic entities. Now as Christians looking back, and I believe that is one of the biggest satanic deceptions of our day. All these people, 70% of the people in Indiana, as of about 5 years ago, believe in the existence of extraterrestrials. Well, I believe there's something out there, but they're not extraterrestrials from other worlds that evolved. They're simply demonic beings that are posing themselves as having the answers and being more advanced than we are and coming from other worlds. Even the designers of Star Trek, the futurists that brought that program into being, like Isaac Asimov, heavily into the New Age, into all this stuff. He even spoke about world government, all these ideas. It's hard to believe sometimes that people can't connect these dots because they're so obvious. It's like we're being prepared for a huge demonic deception that's going to help usher in this world government. And it doesn't matter if you believe that these spiritual beings are demons or extraterrestrials or apparitions of Mother Mary or the patron saints or angels. I met one lady in Colorado who had a close friend who was absolutely convinced she could get into contact with her own personal angels anytime she wanted to for advice. And she had fallen for that. So many, many deceptions that we need to be aware of, and we are not to be involved in any of those.
And, of course, we have to let people understand, the average Christian listening to this program, is that there really is a spiritual world out there, and the last thing you want to get is into contact with that. You want to stay in contact with the Lord, but you do not want to begin delving into the occult or trying to obtain the power that is there. It's available to you for the asking. but if you ask for it, at the risk of your eternal damnation. We'll be back here in just a moment with Gary Kaw, and welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited. They had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated. They were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large, until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
All right. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to tell you about some of the items that we carry, and certainly one of them is the Miracle 2 soap products. And we can't make any claims at all for Miracle 2. All we can do is tell you that certainly many of our people who use these products swear by them. I know my wife, this morning we were talking, she said, I wouldn't be without my Miracle 2 products. And she uses the gel on everything imaginable, and it seems to get better. And I certainly wouldn't be without it either. I take it for a rash. I use it on the Miracle 2 moisturizing soap and taking care of a rash. Now, we can't tell you it's going to help your rash. All we can do is tell you that a lot of people have used it for rashes. We know Joyce Riley has given the Miracle 2 products to a lot of the Gulf War veterans, and nothing helped them other than Miracle 2 products. So all we can do is suggest you call, get an introductory offer, try them and see if they help you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, Miracle 2. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Gary Kaw. And Gary, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get your newsletter, how they can get your information and your videos and all?
Well, our order line is 317-290-HOPE. And again, that's 317-290-4673. And we also have a couple of videos that we offer and our newsletter. In our newsletter, we regularly reproduce our evidence, our documentation. We have people who read our newsletter, even who are members of Congress, missionaries overseas, school teachers, people from all walks of life, and we try to do a credible job. We don't say anything that we can't back up. And if you like that kind of a newsletter, I think you'll find this helpful.
Well, I remember in your last newsletter, you were talking about all the meetings they're having all over the world as they consolidate their plan for world government. And, of course, for bodies that, through the mantle of law, will be able to tell our elected officials what to do. In fact, our senators and congressmen really can't influence what happens to the World Trade Organization. They tell our elected officials what to do, and the same thing is true with NAFTA. And then, of course, we're moving towards the World Law of the Sea Treaty. They've already passed the Desertification Treaty, which gives the United Nations planning control over 70% of the land surface, and the Law of the Sea Treaty will give the United Nations control over 70% of the land mass of the world, because, of course, it's covered by water. What's wrong with the Law of the Sea Treaty? Gary, after all, wouldn't it be nice if we could regulate all the oceans?
Well, here again, we're also giving up a lot of control with that, where the UN can dictate. I'm not against treaties among nations governing what countries fish where and that type of thing. I think there's a need for that. Otherwise, one country could go off the shore of another and wipe out all the fish in that area so that they wouldn't have enough for themselves. Nothing wrong with that. But what the UN is trying to do desperately is to raise some type of tax that will fund them in a significant way. And one way to do so is by through passing these various treaties, where anyone who would then use the area that is under the UN's control would have to pay taxes to them. That's ultimately the bottom line here, is it's money. They need money to have the power and influence. And, even apart from those kinds of treaties, just having a one-tenth of 1% tax on international currency transactions, for example, would raise literally billions of dollars a year for the UN. And those kinds of laws and treaties are just around the corner. There are powerful people working very hard to bring that about. And so we just need to be aware about that. I don't think we're going to be able to do much to stop it. There's so much momentum for these types of things, especially in Europe, that the United States is getting to the point where in the very near future they're going to have to go one way or another, a fork in the road. Either they're going to have to go along with an empowered UN or European Union taking us into global government, or we're going to have to become, for all practical purposes, isolationists. And personally, I'm not an isolationist in the sense that we should not trade with other countries or we shouldn't have good relations. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm saying we may be one of the only countries in the world that doesn't want to go into world government. And if a majority of the American people would say we don't want this, then we would have to be prepared to go it alone and suffer the consequences. And I think the old money powers of Europe want to force the United States into this, because they realize as long as there's an island where people can get away to and be free, they're not going to be able to pull off this world government. And I think that's why so much pressure is being applied to America to bring us down in any way possible. And of course, the biggest way to do that is through immorality. If people get sidetracked into every type of vice and sin available, that will dominate their lives, and they won't be taking the stand that they should be taking. They won't be fellowshipping with the Lord and seeking the truth, but rather simply indulging in selfish desires. And that describes the United States today. We are, spiritually and morally, we are very weak and getting weaker by the moment. It was interesting, a few weeks ago when The Passion of the Christ came out, on the evening news, every single day for about 2 weeks, the two top stories were The Passion of the Christ on the one hand, and on the other hand, gay couples getting married on both coasts, you know. And it just, to me, it was symbolic of where this country is at. It's like, decide which way you're going to go. And I do believe that time is growing shorter by the day.
And who will you worship? Who will be your God? And of course, will it be the God of the flesh, or will it be the God of the Bible? We're going to be back here in just a moment with Gary Kopp. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just simply mention the Big Berkey water filter that we carry. We carry the Big Berkey. It's made out of stainless steel. It's a wonderful means of getting good, pure water. And, of course, you put the water in the top. It goes through the ceramic filters, which are packed with activated charcoal, comes out the bottom, and it's removed almost all of the herbicides and pesticides and bacteria. And you can take pool water or pond water or river water or lake water, and you can put it through there, and it'll be drinkable and be safe. And certainly the Big Berkey's been used by missionaries for, the better part of 150 years. They are $239.95. If you buy them through us, you get a free video or free four-tape set that we have produced. Then I wanted you to tell you that these are available in every state of the Union except California and, of course, the state of Idaho. Pardon me, Iowa. But you can get in California something called the Berkey Light. It's made of Lexan. The filters really work much more efficiently. There's just two of them. They're called the Black Berkey filters, and they take everything out. They leave, of course, the minerals in there, except for the heavy metal ions, but they take out the herbicides and pesticides and certainly literally all of the bacteria. No bacteria or cryptosporidium would get through that, and they've done tests. And the Berkey Light is made of Lexan, so you can see the water level. We call the filters purifiers rather than actual just filters, because they do a wonderful job, but they have to be changed every 2 to 3 years, depending upon how much you use them. So if you would like, the Berkey Light is $199, and of course you can see pictures of both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light at our website of RadioLiberty.com. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 to order either Berkey filter. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Gary Kaw. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, in your latest newsletter, Gary, you just listed all of these meetings that are taking place all around the world, where these plans are being consolidated by the international bureaucracy. They're forging the chains for the people of the world.
Yes, I'll run through just a few of them. We listed 30 or 40 of the top meetings that we were aware of that would be going on this year, and we're always gaining information on additional meetings. Big meeting took place January 12th to the 13th. I'm just going to go back here a moment, a couple of months. It took place in Monterrey, Mexico, as a special summit of the Americas, and it has to do with the free trade area of the Americas that is getting closer and closer to becoming a reality. It would become a type of regional and eventually political block of countries similar to the European Union. The deadline is 2005 for the creation of this free trade area of the Americas, called the FTAA for short, so people may want to be aware of that. Also, another recent development, President Bush in the last few months has begun funding the International Baccalaureate Program. Some people have heard of that. It's becoming popular very quickly. Especially for gifted students. Several hundred schools in this country are now offering that program. What most people are not aware of is that that is the UN-endorsed program. The UN was smart enough not to directly attach its name to it, and so people are not aware of this. So So if you think the UN does not have any kind of control or influence, just look at the International Baccalaureate Program that's being promoted behind the scenes by the UN. It's coming in quite rapidly now, and it's very globalistic, and it would not be in its teachings opposed to global government or defend our national sovereignty or anything like that. It helps condition and prepare young people to move in the direction of global government. A couple of meetings coming up. One actually just took place last week in Rome, Italy, dealing with the environment. It was organized by the Italian Ministry for the Environment and the United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs. The delegates strategized on building political partnerships in order to implement global environmental objectives, which also have the overriding theme of world government. The saying is, global problems demand global solutions. The environment is a global problem, therefore we need a world government to solve it. That's where they're going with this. Another big meeting on the environment coming up, and I want to pause here for a moment, Stan, and let people know, I am aware that there are problems with the environment that they need to be dealt with. What I am in disagreement with is that we have to have a world government to solve them. That is the deception in all this. People are manipulating the environmental situation to argue in favor of world government, and that should not be tolerated. It's just a ploy. April 19th to the 30th, the 12th session of the United Nations Commission on Sustainable Development will be meeting. They'll be looking at further ways of implementing Agenda 21, the chief guiding document on global environmental governance from the 1992 UN Rio Earth Summit. And again, the bottom line is empowering the United Nations agencies and their partner environmental organizations.
Now, we've got a whole line of a flock of people are calling in, so let's take a few of the calls.
Okay.
We'll get back to that if we have time. Let's go to Chris in Kentucky, but I just wanted our listeners just to see these meetings are being held all the time where they're planning your future and the future of your family. Chris, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment. Thank you very much for this as well. And I also have a question. Gary, what about in the entertainment society with television shows is kind of conditioning the minds of people for how good a world government is? And I'm not much of a television watcher, but is this happening as well as children's cartoons or whatever kind of entertainment?
It is happening through a great deal of the entertainment industry, especially in your cinematic films. A friend of mine in Wisconsin, until a few years ago, was involved in producing films in Hollywood. In fact, he was one of the producers of Magnum PI at one point in time. And he personally told me a number of years ago that he knows of top producers, and he told me the names. I won't name them on the air, but at least two producers that he knew of that made it mandatory for those people working on the creative aspects of the film, of the film's production, that they had to be involved in some form of occult meditation or another, transcendental meditation or yoga or some form of Eastern meditation in order to be able to work on these projects. And I've wondered before when I see some of these films, especially relating to extraterrestrials or satanic phenomena and that type of thing, who even has a creative mind to be able to come up with some of this stuff? You know, sometimes I feel like I'm looking into the other realm. When you see that film, you think this is utterly demonic. Where in the world is this coming from? And the answer is it may literally be coming from the other side, because some of these people are opening themselves up. They're claiming to have visions and seeing things and communicating with beings that inspire them to produce these films. And so the entertainment industry, I don't know if there's any way that you could do this and pull it off in a credible way, but if you were to pull your top television or film producers that are the most powerful in Hollywood, the percentage of them involved in the occult or who are involved closely with other people who are heavily involved in the occult, I'd be willing to bet it would be 8 out of 10 of them, something like that. That's the first point of contact for the public in many cases with the occult. It's something they see in a movie cinema that then gets them interested in it, and they begin to go further and further. And, you know, even the Harry Potter series, which a lot of people laugh at that, but you read those books, and many people who've been involved in the occult that I have spoken with say they're perfect introductions into the occult for young people. And millions of American young people have read those books, and they're going out looking further into these things, wanting to become part of this type of phenomena. So whether it's books or Hollywood, much of this promotional effort is geared toward getting our young people's appetites whetted to further look into these types of things and get them hooked.
Thanks very much, Chris. And let's go to Kay, who's calling from Marina. Hi, Kay. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stan. Mr. Call, I wondered if you had heard the story of the great preacher William Branham, who in 1933 took his son into a California town and more or less prophesied that everything that they were looking at would one day be underwater, that is, California would be inundated by a cataclysmic, man-made, and engineered event?
I have heard that, yes. I have heard other people saying similar things, that a time is coming in this country where both of the coasts especially are going to come under attack in some way and throw America into a type of crisis.
Okay, anything else you want to say, Kay?
Is there any prediction of dates, or is it nearer than...
I can only, you know, I don't want to get into hearsay on what people are saying. Let me just say this from personal experience. I'll briefly share this experience that I had when I was still working for the government of the state of Indiana, and for a couple of years afterwards. I was involved in an organization that was at that time under the Federal Emergency Management Agency. There were 2,200 people in our particular group. It's called the National Defense Executive Reserve, which is no longer in existence. They actually closed it down a few years ago under the Clinton administration, but kept a lot of the same positions and brought them directly under the executive office of the president. So the same orders could be carried out now, but it would be a slightly different organizational structure. By the way, all of this has now been brought under Homeland Security, in case you're wondering. Anyway, the organization I was in, that I was invited to join, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to serve my country, but after a few meetings, I began thinking, what in the world is going on? This is unconstitutional. I would have been given the power during a national crisis, if the state of national emergency is declared, to literally go in and seize corporations and tell them what to do. And there were other people in this organization, too, that began seeing that this was un-American, that it's wrong. But we attended meetings in Washington, D.C., at Fort McNair. We also attended some meetings at FEMA Region 5 headquarters in Chicago. And I'm saying all this to get you to this point. In two of the meetings in Chicago, roundtables, they had a type of training exercise that would walk through different things that could happen that would justify a situation of declaring a state of national emergency, and where all of us people would be called in to serve in one way or another, at which point we'd be going to a top secret place somewhere in the country, which we were not told where that would be. The interesting thing is, in both of the main scenarios, Washington, D.C. and or New York City were hit by a nuclear device, and it sent the country into pandemonium, and as a result of that, they declared a state of national emergency, and these various individuals in this structure were called in to serve. And so this was back in the 80s. So that's something personally I can talk about. And I always wondered, I thought, why did they use that scenario, and why did they use it twice? Did they know something or expect something to happen at some point in time? And that's why I wrote in my book, In Roots of Global Occupation, I kind of hinted about New York City at some point in the future being a target. I think it was in chapter 2 or 3, and we've gotten a lot of phone calls on that since 9/11. But I believe in order for the United States to be brought down, to be brought into this world government, some type of crisis eventually is going to hit us. And I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I think only God knows. But I believe that he has been holding this back and trying to protect this country as long as possible. But I think the day is going to come, if America keeps going down the path it's going down, that God is going to lift his hand of protective covering from our nation, and at that point, I believe something catastrophic will happen.
I believe. I thank you so much for calling, Kay. And let's go to Mike, who's calling. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, a question regarding the Superfund. I wondered if it's still in existence, and if and how much money is being pumped through it, and where is it going?
I didn't quite hear that.
He's asking about the Superfund. I don't know what you're specifically referring to.
The EPA Superfund, it started back in the late 60s, early 70s, far as I understood, there was huge amounts of money going through it.
This was for control of pollution? Or?
Yeah, to clean up pollution or to control polluters.
Yeah. I'm aware of the Superfund, Mike, but I can't tell you. That's not an area that I've researched in detail. I don't know where that money is going. I wish I did, but I don't know. That would be a great research project for somebody to throw themselves into, and I'm sure it would be a huge task, though, to try to track that down.
Right.
Okay, fine. Let's go to Ben. Ben, did you have a comment? Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question, but I can answer that last gentleman's question. It's going to attorneys and incorporations who are not doing those Superfund cleanups.
All right.
The question for your guest is this, and I'm very serious. Is there any way within the realm of this gentleman's thinking that Jesus could have been an extraterrestrial? And my reason for asking that is I cannot conceive of a loving God sending his son to be here and tortured and killed in such a manner.
Have you read?
I'll take my answer.
Okay, fine. Have you, Ben, have you read Isaiah 53?
Yes, sir.
All right, fine. Thank you. And I think that, of course, would you like to respond to what Ben says? Ben says, he just doesn't think a loving God could have sent his son here to be tortured. How would you respond to that?
Well, I number one, no. Jesus was not an extraterrestrial. I believe he was God in the flesh, came to this world to pay the price for our sins, and I believe the fact that he had to die the way that he did and shed his blood shows the seriousness of sin in God's eyes. Heaven has to be maintained pure, has to be perfect. If heaven loses its perfection, then all is lost. Therefore, God cast Lucifer out when he rebelled and wanted to become his God. And we know that Lucifer is a great tempter, the master deceiver. I don't even like to call him Lucifer. I just want to call him Satan because that's what he is. And he has succeeded at luring people away from God, indulging in sinful desires at God's expense. And it has grieved God greatly. If you read Genesis 6, God sent the flood. It grieved God that he had even made mankind because of the wickedness and the sin that was going on at that time. But yet he kept Noah, and after the flood, man procreated, and eventually the world was repopulated, and it brought us to the current time. But Jesus said that in the last days it would be like in the times of Noah. Sin would abound, lawlessness would abound, people would be godless, they would hate God, they would be lovers of themselves over God, they would seek sin rather than holiness, and we see that happening today. I don't know what else I can say. The Bible is so explicitly clear on the need for atonement for sin. Without that atonement, there could be no entrance into heaven. So God sent Christ to pay the price for our sins, so that we would not have to pay that price ourselves, because we could never do it. There would be no hope for us. And I think one reason people don't want to accept that stand is because it takes ourselves and our own works out of the picture. I think people want to think that they're somehow good enough that they can earn immortality. And no matter how good the best man could possibly be, he cannot be perfect, which you have to be to gain entrance into heaven. And so that's the way it is, and nothing's going to change that.
Well, I think that there are a lot of people who say, well, see, I don't think, I just doesn't make sense to me, and it doesn't seem to be fair. Well, I think that when you say that, it means you haven't really read and studied the Scriptures, because, first of all, we're not to be judging God, but the whole background of the Old Testament tells us that the Messiah is coming. And, of course, the New Testament tells us he came and he paid the price for our sin. And like a lamb, he went to the slaughter. And yet, I was rereading Isaiah 53, and I wish everybody in the audience would reread that wonderful, wonderful book of Isaiah. And my understanding is that in rabbinical schools, they teach them Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 54, but they don't talk about Isaiah 53, because, of course, it is so clear that they're talking about our Savior.
You know, something else to bring up, and that is that God created the world perfect. It was man that messed it up. God didn't do it. God's grieved by what he has seen and what is happening in the world today. And I believe ultimately the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will be required in order to bring peace on earth. People keep calling for peace and trying to do everything to achieve, and things keep getting worse and worse because of the sin of man. And I think ultimately there will be peace when Jesus Christ returns, but not till then. I'm not saying we shouldn't work for peace and try to live peacefully with other people. It's just the sin nature of man. As man sins more and more, he gets out of line with God's will, and things get worse. But so many people blame God for the current world situation when they have no further to look than the mirror. Because it is man that has made the mess that we're in.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Gary. It's always a pleasure, and God bless you. We'll be talking to you again real soon.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Bye-bye. Ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention some of the four tape sets that we have here at Radio Liberty. Four tape sets like The Secret Government, Secret Societies, Skull and Bones, The Bohemian Grove. And these are four tape sets of some of the best interviews we've put together that will give you the information you're not going to get from other sources. Some of these are classics. Our four tape set on O.J. Simpson. Most people aren't interested in that, but you've never gotten the full story of O.J. Simpson. The four-tape set on the Tuskegee study, where 400 black men were recruited for an experiment, and you'll actually hear the people who defend that. You'll hear, of course, the man who exposed the whole story, the Tuskegee story, and all the problems that he had as he tried to get the truth out that they were trying to kill these black people. They were withholding treatment from them intentionally so they would die and they could be autopsied. And nobody in our government was ever punished for what had happened. It was all done in the name of science. You need to get our four tape set on population control. You need to get our four tape set on genocide. You need to get our four tape set on Laetrile, or why do we still have cancer, or so many of the issues that face America today. And, of course, we have all sorts of videos that we put out, and we hope that you'll want to get those as well. And you have our permission to copy any of the four tape sets that we put together and circulate them on your own if you wish, because we want you to help us get the truth out across America. We're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, environmental, educational, financial battlefield, and most people don't even know the war is going on. And until all freedom is lost and the cataclysmic events occur, when God brings his judgment, they will realize. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we really hope that many of you will decide that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And, of course, let me simply mention that we carry Gary Call's wonderful book, The New World Religion, his book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, and his book, En Route to Global Occupation. So, En Route to Global Occupation, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. And you can get all three books through Radio Liberty. The third one, The New World Religion, they're all excellent. They're inexpensive books, but they will give you a tremendous oversight of this whole move. that we're talking about today. And Gary has given his whole life in this battle, left a good-paying job to go off on his own, living on faith, traveling throughout the world with, of course, with his wife and family, trying to awaken people, saying, don't just see what's happening. And there is a spiritual blindness, I'm firmly convinced. I believe the only way really to reach any large number of people is simply by radio, which is why I do what I do. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We hope if you'd like to get a copy of our February newsletter, which goes into the background of what really happened on September 11th, the stories you've never heard before. Why, give us a call, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send you a free copy of our newsletter. Of course, I hope you'll want to subscribe, but you go ahead and we'll send you the free copy and you see if you feel it's worthwhile. Of course, you can always go to our website at radioliberty.com. We post the newsletters there, and you have our permission to pull them off of there and to copy them and distribute them. You can listen to our radio programs there 5 hours a day, links to other networks, to the Genesis Network, to the Radio Liberty Network. And, of course, we hope that you'll tell other people about our Internet programs. We hope that you'll tell other people about our shortwave programs 4 hours a day. Here on the West Coast, you can get our evening programs, which were unavailable until recently, but now from 8 to 10 every evening on the Pacific time, 9 to 11 Central time, pardon me, Mountain time, and 10 to 12 Central time. You can get our programs at 5.745 megahertz on shortwave. If you need a shortwave set, we've got a great one that we offer, of course, with a 24-foot aerial. You need a good aerial to get good shortwave reception. And then, of course, we ask you to think about getting some of our videos, like my video, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the book by the same name, the video, Diapracs in the Church, which goes into the church growth movement. And we actually have a four-tape set on the church growth movement, and we have a four-tape set on the apostate church. All of these tape sets help you to understand that the Protestant church is in real trouble. If you're a Catholic, you'll want to get the wisdom of Malachi Martin, who was a Jesuit priest, who was a personal confidant of Pope John the 23rd. You'll actually want to get the video Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, which goes into the wars of the last century, or my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, which goes into how all of the wars of the last century were contrived. They were all contrived, and we have a syllabus that documents that and gives you the background of why we went to war and why we're in Iraq today. And we're not there for any of the reasons you're being given. And you must understand the war was planned long before the September 11th terrorist attack, and the war is being fought for reasons that will eventually, of course, draw America into World War III. And so we ask you, if you'd like to get these items, call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-544-8927, and pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be with you once again, may the Lord be with you.